Hello, friends. Welcome to Josiah Venture Stories. You will hear incredible stories of life change from the mission field and be inspired by the movement of God in Central and Eastern Europe. I'm your host, Gwen Gardner, and I am so excited to share today's conversation with you. Today on the show is Tino Peste. Tino and his wife live and serve in Constanța, Romania. Constanța is situated in southeast Romania by the sea and is a multicultural metropolis that hosts over 14 different ethnic groups. Tino met and married Christiana while they were studying theology in their country's capital and going to the same church. After finishing their education, both of them felt God's calling to serve the young generation in Constanța. They believe that the best way to serve the church of today is actually to serve the church of tomorrow by ministering to the young generation. Together, they are implementing and leading Exit Tour in Romania while being actively involved in their local church. There, Tino is also leading the youth and student ministry, and Christiana is working with children and teenage girls. As a couple, they believe that by communicating the great message of the gospel in a relevant way, the church remains relevant and active in the lives of the young people. And the most relevant way is to share its discipleship. So, Tino, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Such nice words.
What a lovely intro I had for
yes.
you. And this is great to have you and to interview you in person. We're here in the Czech Republic.
Yes.
Because usually a lot of my interviews are done over Zoom. So it's really nice to be in person with you today.
Well, thank you. It's a privilege to be here with you.
I'm so glad. Well, here at the beginning, Tino, I mentioned a little bit about your wife, but tell me more about your family and your life in Romania.
Yes. So our family name, Peste, which you very nice said it.
Like
Peste. means actually in my language, fish.
Fish.
Fish, like the fish in the water. So if you go to the store and want to buy a fish, you'll ask for a Tino, whatever, a fish.
A fish.
A fish. And our fish pond grew with two little fishes. I can say that.
That's good. That's
yes.
good. I like that.
We have two daughters. Yes, Amanda. She is 3 and 8 months and 12 kilos. And that's relevant in just a moment because our second daughter, Haria, which is I'm proud to say it's a word I invented. There's no Romanian.
Wow.
It's the first, yeah.
What is her name?
Haria.
Haria.
Yeah, I will say that the name of my daughters have a story, but I will come back to that.
Okay.
So, she's 5 months old and she weighs 10 kilos.
5 months old, 10 kilos.
Three and a half, 12 kilos. Yeah, so
wow.
She's big. She's a big fish.
The big fish.
Yes, she's a big fish. Yeah, their names have a story. Like Amanda means worthy of love.
Mm-hmm.
She has a second name, Christiana, like her mom,
yes.
which means Christian, literally means Christian in Latin, Italian, Spanish, and so on. And Haria, her name is Haria, which is from Har, which is grace.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And also Victoria, like
Haria,
victory.
Victoria, yeah.
So basically, it's Amanda means Christian, worthy of love. Why? Because the victory of grace.
Look at that.
Yes.
Look at that. Now, are you planning on to have more children
yeah.
to continue with
yeah.
this?
Yeah, if I have a Bob, the guy's name will be like just Bob, a kid.
Bob Fish.
Bob Fish. It's simple. I don't know yet.
We don't know. We don't know yet, but that's amazing. You have two girls. And what do you enjoy, Tino? What is your life about? What are some hobbies that you like?
Well, I love traveling a lot.
Okay.
So,
good.
Yeah, we like to travel, visiting cities. I'm a guy who likes urban more than nature. Cities, new cities, big cities.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Also, I like football a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, probably.
Soccer.
Yeah, soccer and American football.
And? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I am a fanatic about the Philadelphia Eagles.
Wow.
Yeah,
nice.
In the last 5 years, I don't think I missed a game. And sometimes, live game. And sometimes they start at 3 o'clock in the morning. So.
Yeah, that's dedication.
Yes.
Right
I like.
There.
I like it. Yes. But also, yeah, football. Sometimes I think if I didn't find out about Exit, probably I would have ended up in Edge somehow. Because
that's right,
I
Edge like, Sports, yeah. Exit. Mm. Okay, we're gonna talk soon about what is Exit. But first, I want to know a little bit more about Romania and the spiritual climate there. What's it like? You are a Romanian. Are people open to the gospel? What's it like there in Constanța?
It's a mix of things. I can describe it to be Romanians to be super superstitious.
Oh, superstitious.
Yes, superstitious. Very, very superstitious. And it's a very cold climate, you know,
okay.
Because of the communism. They were like about 80 years in Romania and they kind of clean it. They try to stop religion, to stop... any type of faith, and the churches are either big religious churches, even in evangelical ones, like over 1,000 people, 2,000, but very religious,
okay,
strict, you know, and smaller but open, like smaller but very alive, very involved in the in the local life.
Mm-hmm.
But Romania is at its core superstitious. Like my friends, when I grew up as a kid, they would play with me. We would do together a lot of stupid stuff together, they would never come to church. Remember my church, my home church in Megidia, which is so close to Constanța. We build it with some North American help. So it has like a 2x4 structure. So with empty walls.
Mm-hmm.
So the priest of the city told the people that they're empty because we put crosses upside down inside of them. So they should not step in our church.
Okay.
So superstitious, you know.
Yeah.
It's I think it's a correct word. But the new generation is open.
Okay.
The Gen Zs, I think the Alpha will be the same. They are very open. Sadly, they are open to everything, you know.
Yes.
But they are open when you challenge them and when you open up the spiritual stuff in a discussion, they will be open. They will listen. They will ask questions. So I think this generation, it's ready. It's ready to know more.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then for you... like, how did you become a believer? Did you grow up in a Christian family in this, you know, superstitious culture as you're talking about? What was that like for you?
I was almost a first generation believer. But my parents came to Christ when I was roughly 4 or 5.
Okay.
So I grew up in the church. The church changed over the years and from... kind of a religious church became a very open, live, you know, involved church in the city. But growing up without a father, I didn't have like good role models. And my dream until I was maybe 11 or 12, I wanted to become an international thief. That was my dream.
International thief.
Yes.
Like what is that movie? Like Oceans?
Yes.
Oceans 12?
Exactly. Yeah. Before Oceans, I wanted to like, you know, go into big safes and, you know.
Crack the code.
Diamonds and stuff. Yeah.
You know, wow.
And
I'm learning so much about you.
Yes, thank you. And I start to perfect my art and my craft and I start stealing, you know.
Oh.
From stores, from people, you know. So, because I wanted to be good at my
profession. Yes. And you said your dad wasn't there.
No.
Okay.
So. Yeah. He actually, the most tragic thing is that the whole family came to faith through him.
Okay.
But like the majority of Romanians, they have a very frenemy relationship with alcohol, and he was an alcoholic, and he abandoned us eventually, and he died when I was older a little bit. I mean, when I was like maybe 16 or 17, he died because of that. So
that's gonna affect your life for sure.
Yeah. Past trauma. Here you go.
Whoa. Now we're gonna talk about trauma. No. But no. Thank you for sharing that. You just said that, and I was like, oh, interesting, because your parents came to faith first.
Yes.
But then your dad passed away, and then So what made you go from wanting to be a professional thief to studying theology later in life?
Well, the journey is long. It started when, no, I'm just kidding. So I remember that day, like it was yesterday. I was stealing. I was maybe 13 years old or 14. I'm not really sure about the age. And I had this colleague from like gymnasium, and he was one of those guys who got bullied all the time, you know, but his parents were super rich. And he had, and I know if people remember, a computer. It was a Pentium 4. It was the brand new generation computer. It was the best one ever. And I wanted to play games on his computer, you know, and steal stuff from his house, basically. So he had money, right? So one day, the door of the apartment building was open because you need to buzz in. I go up the stairs and I knock the door. He opens, and probably I catch them, not ready or something, because I saw with the corner of my eye his dad stuffing money in his pocket from the house, you know. So then I heard my voice, basically. Now being a grown up, I know that was the Holy Spirit, you know, telling me stuff that. Mm-hmm. He said, look, this guy will receive a thief in their house because they want someone to play with his son. Mm-hmm. You should be ashamed of that, you know?
Yeah.
And from that moment on, I never stole it. I stopped stealing, and I said, okay, this is not good, you know? And I felt like the Holy Spirit, God called me to something else. I don't know back then what, but that stopped there. My career ended right there.
And you said that's when you were 13?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So your career as a thief ended there, and then later on you go to school and study theology.
Well, there's another college between that.
Okay, well yes, 13, and then yes.
So basically, I was in the church, and I think one thing that made me remain and love the church and remain a Christian and wanted to be baptized at 16, I was baptized, 15 and a half, was that even though I was doing very interesting, let's call it interesting stuff, you know, in church, back then, my country leader was my youth leader.
Oh.
Yeah. So Flavio created this great place when young people can mess up, fail, and not kick them out, you know, because I remember one time I convinced two other guys to steal the church's van, and we crushed it, you know. We had a wedding at church, and it was so boring, man. It was so boring. We ate, we drank a lot of stuff, you know, like juices and stuff, but it was nothing fun to do. And then I remember that we have this new van at church.
Oh.
And I knew I'm not allowed in the office because other stuff that I did, you know?
You're banished.
Yes. And I convinced another guy to steal the key from the secretary's office. So I drove the van and I crushed it, and I came back, and they were very fair with me. I said, you need to pay.
Yeah.
But we see each other Tuesday at the youth meeting and at the, you know, meeting that we need to organize, you know? So they created this place where you can mess up. You are accountable for what you mess up, but you are welcome here.
Right.
So, yeah, I remember another time when the main pastor, Pastor Vasilika, you know, I went to some concert. You know, this is funny for me because back then I went to a worldly concert, and he asked me to go in front of the church to apologize on Sunday morning.
Oh.
And now they do fusion. which is great.
And now they do fusion.
And now they do fusion in church. So
when
yeah,
you had to apologize for going to a, concert, and now they're doing a music ministry.
Exactly, you know. But I did, and they created this safe place. And then next Tuesday, I was at a church board meeting because I was helping and running the drama department.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah, so it was this, okay, he messes up, but he's ours. He's here. And that made me feel loved, appreciated, and trying, and made me this, gave me this courage to, okay, I need to get better. I need to be better for these people that, you know, invest in me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And yeah, and I wanted to be better. And basically, then I wanted to become the best lawyer in Romania.
Okay, so hold on. Yeah. I've got track now. Yeah. So first you wanted to be a thief, that career ended, and then you wanted to be a lawyer.
Yes, so I went to law school.
Oh.
Yes. When I said there's a college between.
I know, this is the transition point, yeah.
It was a college literally between. So yeah, I went to law school. I did it, and I worked as a juridical counsel here after I finished school, trying to get my bar exam so I can be a lawyer, for like legit lawyer.
Yeah.
And I skipped my, I failed my exam with 0.6 points, you know. And okay, I said, okay, God, what now?
Yeah, what's next?
I was a very firm believer now. I grew up, you know, mm-hmm. and I had a small group, and I was involved in local church. And I was like, what now, God? You know, and one night I was praying, and I was saying, well, what now? Because you can take this bar exam only one time a year, and
yeah,
I will lose information. I will lose the exercise of learning and stuff. And as I was praying, this idea came into my head, like, I don't know how to explain it, just through an image. Like, you see a full moon in a clear sky in the night. Mm-hmm. It's like bright, it's there. You know, in all that darkness, that is that thing over there. So that idea was like that for me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go to theology school, because you are going in this area of life, with like juridical and law, where people are wicked and they do, you know, dubious stuff. Mm-hmm. You need to have core values. You need to have a firm
character.
Rock.
Yes, yes.
A firm rock where you build up your life. So I went to theology school, Pentecostal theology school in Bucharest, and I got in love with the Bible.
Oh.
I got in love with God in such a profound way that I never went back to my law career.
Yeah, so no, by so, law school.
Yeah, but the plan was do it one day, one year, no, normal college. Mm-hmm. And then after I would take the bar exam, just make a distance type of thing. And you know, but I fell in love with the Bible, and I just remained there and study, and yeah, it was very nice.
And that's also where you met your wife,
yes,
right? Yes.
Because I had to do like teachings and stuff, part of the practical. Mm-hmm. And I went to that church over there where she was, and there she was.
There she was. Yeah. The end.
The end.
No, that's good. Okay, so then how did you first hear about Josiah Venture? And yeah, how did that happen?
Well, after I finish theology school, usually you need to go, and if you want to pursue this avenue in life, you need to go be involved in the church. Mm-hmm. So we prayed about it, because now I was married. I married in my third year of theology. We were married. We were in the United States with a work and travel program. We went there 3 summers in a row.
Where in the U.S.?
Utah, from all places.
Utah, wow.
Mormon land.
The Mormon land, yes.
No idea. So many interesting discussions with the Mormons.
Oh, yes. I've had my fair share of discussions with Mormons. Very interesting. Utah, huh?
Yes, Utah. Park City, Utah.
Nice. Shout out.
Yes.
Park City, Utah.
It's a nice place. Dark spiritually, but nice place.
Yeah. Okay, so you were there. Then what happened after that?
So we were praying because our job there and we made friends now there, they wanted us to stay there, you know, and remain there because we will find a way of making you stay legal, you know. And then we prayed about it and we felt strongly for God to come back and be involved in life, in church life, especially with young people. So a friend of mine who became a pastor in this church, small church in Constanza, invited me to join his new team. He just became a pastor in this church, and he wanted a brand new team, and he wanted somebody who has a passion for young people, and, you know. And so we went there at this church. It's called Faro Church, which means lighthouse.
Ooh, yeah. Lighthouse.
So we went there. We start serving there. He was the pastor there, but he was in transition. So when you're in transition to become a pastor, an older pastor needs to guide that transition.
Yeah.
And that older pastor was Flavio, which is our country leader.
Hey.
My youth leader from childhood.
All those years ago.
Exactly. And he told me about Josiah Venture. He told me about this amazing organization that, you know, serves in so many countries. And I was like, okay, I'm interested, you know. And he said, well, we're looking for somebody to do what we call exit, you know. Yeah, so he said, would you like to check it out, you know? And he sent us to Ukraine.
Okay.
Kiev.
Yes.
Where I met Lee Humarian.
That guy.
Oh, man. Yes, a very good friend now.
Yeah.
And a mentor in exit and in all what exit means. We went there thinking we're going on a holiday.
Just kidding.
No. We arrived there, it's 5 o'clock in the morning, and he's like, okay, so because of budget, girls sleep in this place and boys sleep in that place. Okay.
Then you and your wife are split
like,
up.
Bye-bye, darling, you know, like, see you tomorrow, I guess.
Maybe.
You know? So we had no idea what Flavio explained it to us, but I don't know why, we don't understand it.
So what was his explanation to you of, like, exit?
School ministry. You go to
school ministry,
and you teach the gospel to young people, and then they will be connected with the local church and start this discipleship program, and it will be amazing, you know. And
you're like, yeah, sounds good.
I took a piece of paper and I said, okay, so if I do 100 disciples this year, they will do another 100. Well, in 2 years, there's no more youth in Constanza, you know. In 20 years, no more youth unsaved in Romania. Cool, let's do this.
Let's do this thing. This is good math.
Yes.
So you had that, you know, school ministry. Oh, okay. And then you go to Ukraine. And then what did you actually experience?
Well, you wake up at 5:30 or something, or 6 o'clock.
Early mornings. Yeah.
It was February, you know.
Oh, cold.
It's cold. It's much colder than Constanza and Kiev.
Yes. Yeah, in Kiev. Yeah.
Snow, a lot of snow. Blistering snow, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah. Because one day we were nervous, maybe the school was about to be closed. Then we go into this school. Like, now I know why God, you know, made it so interesting from the first day. They had their, not gym, the place where we did a concert, I think it was the fourth floor.
Okay.
So we had to carry all those equipment on the stairs, all the way up. There was like, what's going on, man? Where are the kids? Why are we like putting this much equipment here, you know? So, the thing happened. We went to the small concert at the beginning. Then we went to the lectures. We saw the game lectures. And then I looked at my wife and said, man, this is serious. Like, this is not something we could like mess around and say, yeah, we'll think about it. I said, this is something you go all in or you don't go at all. You know, like, this is not something we can, you know, give hope to people and then say, no, I changed my mind, you know.
Right.
So we prayed about it, of course, you know, and we felt to go into this. You know, we felt that this is that was the right tool that we needed, you know, for our ministry, for our city, for and it's a challenging tool still because of the nature of the music and the young generation jumping and dancing when they hear music, you know, like, yeah. I don't know why they do that. This is so strange.
So when did you go to Ukraine? When was that trip?
2018, I think.
2018,
yes,
okay.
Early 2018.
So then when was the first exit tour in Romania?
October 2018.
Okay.
Yes.
So that was February, cold, blistering February in Ukraine. And then you said, we're going to do this.
Yes.
You were all in. We saw how it worked. So share. And is that when you became full-time with Josiah Venture? Was during that year as well?
Yes. Full-time, okay.
Full-time in 2018.
Yes. I was still serving full-time also in the local church.
Okay.
That went together for a while.
Yeah. Local church, exit tour.
Not a very good combination to be full-time in both, but that's another story for another time.
That's another story, people. So as you're like leading exit tour in Romania.
Yes.
So what does that even mean? What do you enjoy about it? What is challenging about it? I want to hear all the things.
Yes, it's amazing. I think it's a great tool because, like you said in the beautiful description, by serving the young generation today, it's such a timeless work, and you know, you're serving the church not only of today but tomorrow also. Mm-hmm. The church of the future, and it's amazing, and I think through this you're changing culture. You're helping churches to reach, and the name it's so relevant, like exit for Romania at least, because in Romania when you do an evangelism, whatever, or you do any event, evangelical, you know, event, you will have a poster and you say, hey, tomorrow night at church 8 o'clock or 6 o'clock. We invite you in. And I never met a person or young people waking up in the morning who says, what a nice day. I want to become a Christian today. You know? Nobody. Let's check the internet, see what church has an evangelism event today. Yes, Google, you know, be a Christian today, you know? And nobody does that, you know? You need to exit. You need to exit your walls. That's the first thing you need to do. Exit the walls. Exit your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Exit everything you know and go where young people are, you know? And we talk about fishing, you know? Mm-hmm. And also, I never saw a fisherman coming from a fishing trip smelling super nice, being super fresh, you know? He slept 8 hours. He's super duper rested. Yeah. He's clean. His clothes are very clean, you know. Yeah. And no, he smells very bad.
Messy.
Messy work. Oh my God. You know, he smells. He probably end up going into the water to catch those fishes, you know, with hands. He's very tired because, you know, you never know when the fishes want to eat, you know, and
working all night, up all night.
Yeah, so it's very interesting, you know. So that's what exit is about. Sometimes it can be a challenge, but it's such an amazing thing, a tool for the local church because it connects. And I say this all the time, exit, it's a meeting place where the young people of the church meet the unchurched people of their city, and we are changing. Hopefully, with God's grace, we are changing the culture in Romania, in churches. And this is like the main thing that I like. But of course, I like the small things, the you know, going to schools and teaching young people. And I like all the organization structural things, and training and all those stuff. And you're having fun, dancing, music and stuff. You know?
Yeah, because there's a lot of music because at exit, you're going into school, like you're exiting the church building. And then going into public schools.
Yes.
And you're doing like preventative programs, right?
Or we
like
call
topics
it,
that you talk about.
Yes. So I need to confess something. I was very nervous. before coming to this podcast because I don't know where it will end up,
yes.
You know. But in Romania, it's actually illegal to share the gospel in schools.
Oh, my goodness.
So they will not allow anything to do with God or religion or anything, you know. So when we go to schools, we tell them we have this prevention and personal development program for young people. Mm-hmm. And we have lectures against addictions, all mm-hmm. kinds of them, from substance to gaming, like social media, movies, yeah. and yeah. stuff like that. We have against bullying, how to resolve a conflict, mm-hmm. how does the human break, the teenager brain works. Shout yeah, out to yes. Ben for that, you know?
Yes, to Ben Williams.
Yes, yes. It's one of the most looked for lectures that we have in Romania.
How the teenage yeah, brain works. Oh,
it's
interesting.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
It's a very nice lecture. The educational games that we have, you know? So we present this program to the school. They like it. Because they, by law, they need to do some form of prevention.
Oh, okay.
So it's good for them, you know, mm-hmm. that we come. But they are very skeptical about who we are. You know,
yeah,
why are you
why
coming
are you
all
this?
The way from Constanța to this? Why, you know? So we had times that we were shut down, kicked out from school, and stuff like that.
So that's a challenge. Yes,
that's a huge challenge. Another challenge is after you deal with schools and the schools say, yeah, we'd love to have you only if you have the approval.
Oh, the approval.
Yeah, that's the worst thing that happened to me.
You're like, no.
Yes. You need to go to this inspector's office.
Oh, so they inspectors got like official.
Inspectors yeah. of education office in every county. So the schools are in a county.
In counties, yeah.
And you need to go to that county. And it depends on the guy because the structure in Romania, the school structure was never reformed. It has the same structure laid out by the Communist Party. So you have the Minister of Education who speaks directly with these schools inspectors.
Oh, wow.
So this and the principals of the schools, they don't have autonomy over their schools. Mm-hmm. They need to get approvals from this inspector, you know?
Wow.
Because there was a way of controlling, you know, what happens in the schools. So some counties are very open, you know, they don't care. Some are very, very, very strict, you know, and they will ask mm-hmm. 1,000 questions, who you are. They will Google you. They'll search for you.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's challenging and gives you anxiety. You know?
Lots of prayer about
oh,
it.
Yes, so this is prayer. The only good outcome. You know, you grab Jesus with your hands so yes. much the night before and you pray and you proclaim stuff and you, it's a really, you know, helps you to grow in your faith with God.
Amen. Amen.
It's a very interesting, but it's, and also another challenge, you ask about challenges. It's, I have this joke in our national organization, Vital. I always told them, hey, exit embodies all the other highways, you know, like,
yeah,
it's, you know, it's exit, but then it's also fusion because we sing stuff.
You bring in a band.
Band,
there's music.
Music, you
games.
Know, games from camps. We borrowed yes. games from camps also. And also the nature is being on the edge.
In sport.
Yeah. Like you'll go and you need to navigate church because some churches are, you know, against dancing, against, you know, stuff
wow.
like that.
Yeah.
So you need to walk very nice. You know, some churches are very open, but mm-hmm. you cannot have a large content online because other churches will see that you go and dance with young people in schools and then outside, that's very worldly, not kingdom-like.
Wow.
So they will not receive you. So you need to navigate that.
On the edge.
Yeah, on the edge. On and the that's very challenging sometimes. Sometimes
wow.
it's challenging. But, you know, we pray for the right churches. We pray that by doing this, even though it's a slow process, we believe that God will change culture mm-hmm. in Romania eventually. Yeah.
And you just recently had an exit tour,
yes,
right?
3 weeks ago, I think.
3 weeks ago.
Yeah, or 2 weeks ago. Last week of February.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
And is there a story from that exit tour that you would like to share, or any like a story that stands out to you of a young person coming to faith through exit?
Oh, I have so many.
Oh, I bet there's so many.
Good,
yes.
Good and bad.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'll mention stuff, but I will maybe go longer in one who is very relevant to me personally.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe two years ago we had a girl that after the lecture about bullying, she came to us and she told us that she wanted to go home and kill herself.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, because her boy, and this is seventh graders. So this is
seventh grade,
yes.
Yeah.
So she said that her boyfriend posted pictures with her naked all over the school and stuff
no.
like that. And she cannot handle that. You
yes.
know?
So, oh gosh.
So we helped her. We prayed with her, but also we contacted a professional, you know, counselor. To help her in that matter. Also, is the story of Mario, a guy who we did exit last summer in June our last exit, and there's this guy from the local church who comes out and shares about, because after we do the concert, the last concert of the week, we just share about, you know, how was it, you know, mm-hmm, strong mm-hmm. stories, you know, beautiful stories. We celebrate what God did that week. So he's sharing, he said, oh, so nice, you know, they could share the gospel with these people and, you know, share it. And I remember last year when you guys came here, I was one that, you know, heard first time about God, you know, was like, what? He said, like, what? And my wife started crying, you know, and it was very, yeah, it was very interesting because we saw how God, you know, just in one ear, he was from like a guy who never knew who Mary is, you know, and Jesus is,
yeah.
Now going and sharing his story. And because of his age, he wants so bad to be baptized, but family is not so thrilled about it. His family were not saved yet.
Okay.
And he's waiting the right moment, but he wants to get baptized. So he's from Ogna Mureș. It's a northern city.
Oh.
But the stories who is very, very important to me, after we did exit last year in Constanța, and that was a challenge because
mm-hmm.
we got shut down twice there.
Oh, wow.
By the inspector's office. Yeah.
That's why you don't like the inspector's office. Yeah.
Yeah. So we eventually did exit. So we did it in partnership with another sister church. And after the exit, after the concert, 28 people, young people came to their church and 42 came to my church.
Mm-hmm.
We divided the spoils of war.
Yes.
We had Francis, a young guy, and more girls came to my church. So mm-hmm. it's yeah, because of Francis, basically. Yeah.
Francis.
Yeah. Shout out to Francis. He's amazing. And these two girls came, sisters, you know, they were so involved. They liked it, you know, and we went to camp with them. They gave their life to Jesus. And this is something also about the Romanian climate. Like when you challenge people at the concert to receive Jesus, 99.9 of them will raise their hand and say, hey, we want to receive Jesus.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah.
Because Romania is the, I think it's the most Christian country in the world. It's 98% of people declare themselves Christians.
Oh.
But they're nominal Orthodox mainly, most of them. And it's more of a superstitious religion.
Right.
They have no idea who, like when I was in high school, and I know I'm going through stories like that.
That's fine.
But when I was in high school, a colleague of mine, a girl, Georgiana is her name, she said, I don't know why you're like talking again and again about this. I know God, but who is this Jesus? Like, this is your repentance people invention. Who is this Jesus? And I was so shocked because she had a very nice gold cross with Jesus on that mm-hmm. cross on her neck. And I was just pointing that the cross, say, it's that guy. Like,
it's that on your necklace that you're wearing.
Yeah. Like, it's how can you not know? And yeah. But wow. And yeah, so people say, yeah, we want to receive Jesus. But actually, you need to invite them to a really structural, intentional discipleship, you know, mm-hmm. relationship. Otherwise, they will just, we're all good because we all believe in a form of God or something. So these yes. two girls, Anastasia and Dana, they came to our church and came to camp and they gave their life to Jesus. And they're coming even to the church program and everything, so nice. And we were discussing with them and they were like, yeah, yeah, it's nice, but we won't tell our parents about it, you know?
Oh, okay.
Because her dad is a deacon in the Orthodox Church. Yeah.
Oopsies.
Yeah, twist, plot twist.
Plot twist.
Yeah, you know, and I was so frustrated about that. And I said, God, why why you don't give me like two people, three people that they get saved, baptized, you know, and they're like...
And other leaders in the church.
Yeah. Why all these kind of troubles and problems? And then again, I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit and telling me God will honor their parents because they are good people and they're seek God, but they're seeking God in a different place, yeah. in the wrong place.
Yeah.
And God will honor them and they will find Jesus through those two girls at the right time. And that's the way of God will honor them. So I need to be patient and let God work in life of these two girls first, and then they will receive the blessing. I was like, okay, thank you, and I apologize. I move on.
Thank you, moving on.
Yeah, I'm sorry for like doubting you, you know. Like, and it was a very, it's a story that it's very close to me because it's a confirmation of that God is always in control. God yes. is always working, and even though we don't see it, and we see like a dead end or another problem, another issue, actually we need to remind ourselves that God is in control, you know, and
mm-hmm. He's working through all yes. the various situations. And oh my gosh, I'm sure you have so many yes. more stories of just how these young people are experiencing yes. exit. And then even like follow up, like how do you hope to, after an exit tour, you hope to get them plugged into your local church and
yes.
a youth group and
yes, yes.
and then for discipleship to happen.
Exactly.
Et cetera. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, we are trying to make the follow-up process even more helpful and mm-hmm. make it even, refine it even better in relationship with the local churches. And every year we sit down with the churches that we did exit in and we have like a brainstorm of ideas mm-hmm, how to make mm-hmm. the process better for them. So now what we have now is a 5-week follow-up process where after exit, the young people that come to the first youth meeting, they are invited to a 5-week of program, not program, but five week meetings with all of them. And then one-to-one or small groups where they're invited to have a mentor and help them and coach them. And in that mentorship, that's the process of mm-hmm. discipleship because they do seek. The church uses share. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they use even alpha. You know, they do like small groups with alpha.
Different training
yeah,
materials.
Yeah, exactly.
And, yeah.
yeah. So it's a nice process. By... By 2 weeks ago, 93 people are in such a process from this year's Exit Tour and Exit Lights.
Wow.
Yeah, 93 people are in sort of a discipleship, you know, youth meetings process, you know, and it's ongoing in their lives.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the same with like our Fusion Music Ministry and all these, the highways of evangelism. It's very much... Exit Fusion, like a come and see
yes.
ministry, and then you're trying to get them plugged in and discipled, and yeah, for these young people to make a decision that'll change their life forever. Yeah,
actually, Exit is very good when it precedes Fusion, because then you can have a bunch of new people going to this beautiful ministry, which is Fusion, where they learn instruments, they mm-hmm. learn how to sing, and they have this a great life together. So
yeah.
it's very, same with Edge, you know, because Fusion, Exit, it's a come and see, repent and believe, the the first two challenges, it's mm-hmm. there, an event for those two. But then Fusion and Edge is more of a process where they can, you know, be with the local church more, yes. you know. So yes. it's pretty, pretty amazing, you know. So, yeah.
I love it. I love what you're doing, Tino, in Romania and all of these preventative programs, and you work a lot with young people. And the question that I like to ask everybody on the podcast is, what advice would you give to young people today?
Well, that's a... now I will speak from my wisdom.
Yes, give me your wisdom, Tino.
Wisdom. Yeah. Well, have fun.
Don't be a thief and have fun.
Yes, don't steal stuff. Stop stealing stuff, you know. They're not yours, you know. That impulses can be cured by Jesus, you know. my whole life strategies regarding young people, and we use different tools, and a huge tool is Exit. It's to have them have two relationships. And if I can have my young people and have my... the young people in general have these two relationships real good, they are set for life.
Yes.
The first relationship is with Jesus.
Yes.
If we
one.
Help them have a really truthful relationship with Jesus, they are saved. And also help them find the right life partner.
Oh, there you go.
Because if you find the right person, you know, in God, in church, you know, mm-hmm. with God, you know, with Jesus, then again, you can build up together a nice family and you go together. So this is what I'm giving advice, you know, mm-hmm. like Jesus will help you find somebody that loves you and loves him. And yeah, and also travel.
Yes.
Yes, travel.
Traveling, see the world.
Yes, when you're young.
Yes, not just Utah, but yes, other places as well.
Yeah, you can go to Bryce Canyon. You can visit in Utah. The salts of Utah, they're amazing.
Amazing.
You know? Yeah, but travel.
I want to go to Romania. I've never been to Romania.
I officially invite you to Romania. I live 5 minutes from the beach. Yeah, ooh, it's amazing.
Let's go to, yeah, you live by the sea. Well, because you're a fish.
Yes, so. I need to be close, like Aquaman.
You have to get
the water. It's my power. Otherwise, yeah, it's travel, you know. Traveled a lot, you know. Also, don't be afraid of being in very stressful and hard situations.
Okay, yeah, that's good, yeah.
Something that we see with Gen Z is they are searching for comfort mm-hmm. so much, you mm-hmm. know, to be good, not to suffer. There's this teaching and power there. When you go through struggle, that will, you know, build you up and prepare you for the next struggle you have, because it's what it's true is in life. You'll have all kinds of challenges, you know. So what helped me is like everything will pass. Mm-hmm. That was my my motto. Everything will pass. Like you have a very bad day, you have a very bad season, it will pass.
This too shall pass.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have a very good season, you have a very good day, it will pass. Mm-hmm. So enjoy it, be there, be present, you know, because it will pass. Enjoy life, have fun, because it's, you know, is this, again, misconception in Romania that a Christian, especially young Christian, cannot have fun. Sinful to have fun. It's sinful to enjoy your life, you know. And repentance automatically means suffering, automatically mm-hmm. means sorrow, you know. If you are too happy, that means you're not repenting enough or something, you know. So enjoy life, you know, of course, with Christ, because that's the best joy ever.
He brings the joy. He's where the joy is.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Well, Tino, this has been wonderful talking with you today and hearing more just your story in general, and then also what you're doing with Exit. And I like to ask everyone here at the end if there's anything else that you want to share, that you want to talk about.
Well, if you're asking.
I am. I'm asking, okay. So you can share.
Yes. Have you heard about fundraising?
Wait.
What? Financial support?
Ministry partners?
Partnership for the kingdom?
I have. Yes. I have.
Cool. Would you like to join us?
Would you join us?
Would you join us? You who are listening right now.
Oh, what do you need, Dino? What do you
need? Well, we need partners in what God is doing in Romania through Exit, through our families. We need financial support for our family and for Exit. And also, yeah, for Exit, we need to raise money for a van.
Oh, a van. Yes. Okay.
We go across country, you know, with Exit, and sometimes it's very difficult to go with all the equipment we have, like, you know, speakers, mini stage, you know, all those stuff.
Yes.
And we do rent sometimes, but that opens up a can of worms. And
yes.
It's expensive. We ask churches, the one they have, we use them, but it would be so helpful if we have a van for our...
For your Exit Tour ministry.
Yes, that would be amazing.
Well, thank you for sharing that need, because people like to hear specific needs and how they can give. And so for anyone listening, if you feel a call, desire to give.
Support some fish.
Yes, to support some fish in Romania.
Please do so.
Yeah, there'll be a link in the show notes for you to click on so you can give to this ministry. But Tino, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for being a Josiah Venture missionary in your home country.
It's a privilege.
We love nationals, so this is great.
Yes. It's a privilege and an honor and a huge responsibility.
That's right. That's true. Yeah. That's true. Especially now you're a fisher of men, and you're raising little fish in your home.
I'm raising a big... tiny fish in a small, huge fish. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does. It really does. But thank you for today. And yeah, thanks for this conversation.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Josiah Venture Stories. For more information about who we are and our vision and mission, visit us at josiahventure.com and follow us on social media. If you have any questions about this episode or would like to get in touch with our guest, please email social@josiahventure.com. To help more people hear about this podcast, please leave us an honest written review or share this episode on your social media. Thank you, friends, and have a blessed day.